Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In these verses, we find some of the saddest words that we can find in the Bible. And yet, we find some of the gladdest words, some of the most wonderful words that we can find anywhere in Scripture. It describes a time when mankind lived as they pleased. It describes a time when man cared nothing for God. It describes a time when man said, who is God to tell me what to do? I want to try to mention first Noah's time. Noah lived in a time of wickedness. He lived in a time when wickedness was great. He lived in a time when wickedness was predominant. As I've already said, it was a time when mankind said, who is God that he has any right to tell me what to do? They lived as they pleased, as the verses that I just read said. Their thoughts were only evil continually. That's all they thought about. That's all they did. That's all they desired. And it also talks about how God said, finally, the time has come. My mercy has been extended. My grace has been extended. But the time of judgment has come. God dealt with the sin. God dealt with the problem. That tells us just how serious God is about sin. In Noah's time, they thought sin was nothing to even consider or to contemplate. Everybody else was doing it. Everybody else seemed to be getting away with it. No one seemed to be under any kind of judgment or condemnation, as Eli said in the class this morning. They did sin and lightning didn't strike them, so they thought they were getting away with it. But during this time, there came a period where God said, my mercy has run out. And he dealt with sin by killing, by sending the flood to deal with every person on earth except for those that were in the ark. We think of that as being too severe. We look at that and say, how in the world could God do such a thing? Well, we need to realize again how serious God is about sin, how awful sin is, and what the payment for sin is. In Noah's time, they thought sin was something that they could live in and get by and do as they pleased, and God wouldn't care or even notice, but they were wrong. And God sent a flood, a worldwide flood, that killed even the little sweet grandmamas, even the daddies who had worked hard to provide for their family, even for those who had done pretty good. But those who were consumed by the flood were those who did not accept the remedy. It was not just because of their sin, but because they refused the remedy for sin. God does not only condemn sin, he provides the remedy, the way to escape the results of sin. He does not just diagnose the problem, but he gives the answer to the problem. In Noah's time, man lived as they pleased and did as they pleased, but sooner or later it caught up with them. Verse 5, God says that God saw their wickedness. He saw them as they were. And verse 6 says it grieved him at his heart. And as bad as that was, and there's no way I can paint the picture dark enough, there's no way I can paint the picture dreary enough, there's no way I can find words to paint it as it is or to describe it as it was, in spite of how bad it was then, it's just as bad now. And I'm talking this morning right now about Noah's time, but Noah's time is just like our time. And that's exactly what Jesus said to expect. For he said, but as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The indication is, here's all of mankind living as they please. No regard for God, no consideration for their sin or the results of their sin. They're going through their life, they're going through their daily routine, doing as they please, and they think, I'm going to get by, but they didn't. And so it is in our day. We're living in the days as of Noah. The world today is just like the days of Noah. We're living in the same type of circumstance. We're living in the same type of world. The world cares nothing for God. And in essence says, who is he to tell me what to do? I'll live as I please, thank you. The world is laughing on their way to hell and enjoying the trip. They think they'll get by. The world has been blinded by Satan. They think they can live as they please and ignore God and shun his dealing with their hearts and get by. But one day judgment will come. One day God will come and deal with those who have walked away or have little consideration for God. Noah's time was a dark time. Noah's time was a sinful time. Noah's time is just like our time. When the world looks at the God of heaven and shakes their fist in his face and says, I don't want anything to do with you. That's the day we're living in. That's the day Noah lived in. Noah's time. But that time came to an end. God's mercy finally ran out. God's deadline finally came. As merciful as God is, that mercy sometime will run out. As loving and compassionate as he is, one day he will deal with those who will not deal with their sin. Sooner or later, punishment will come. Sooner or later, payment will come. It came in the form of a flood back then. Noah's time was a time of darkness. But notice in verse 8 what it says. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was something different about Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Here's the world. For the most part, cares nothing about God. Only lives for themselves. Only lives for their sin. And in the midst of that darkness, here's Noah. Somebody who walks with God and serves God. So we see not only Noah's time, but Noah's task. God said to Noah, I want you to be different. I want there to be something different about you. If you notice in verse 9, it says, and Noah walked with God. Noah was a man that knew God. He was a man who loved God. And God gave him a task to do. God gave him a job to do. And part of that God wanted Noah to do was simply to walk with him. To walk with him in a dark world. To walk with God when nobody else was. To serve God and love God and live clean when nobody else was. To be a light in the darkness. That was Noah's task. That was God's desire for Noah. And so it is God's desire for us. In our dark, dark world, in our dreary, dreary day, God's looking for somebody who will walk with Him even in the midst of the darkness, who will shine forth like a light in the middle of the darkness, who will be different, who knows God and loves God and serves God. Noah walked with God when nobody did. Noah walked with God in spite of the ungodliness around him. Noah did not let the ungodliness around him affect his life. Boy, if there's ever a time when God's people need to do the same thing, it's now. For we are living in a time like Noah's time. It's dark and it's dreary. Mankind is sinful and ungodly. Mankind hates God and brags about it. Mankind lives for sin and is proud of it. Mankind cares nothing about God or His will or His way or His word. And in this dark, dreary day, God's looking for somebody who will walk with Him and love Him and serve Him and live clean in spite of the darkness. Noah wasn't affected by the darkness. And that's what God's looking for in our day. Somebody who can walk through the darkness and not be affected by it. Somebody can go to that workplace where there's sin on every hand and not let that sin affect them. Somebody who can listen to cursing and can watch all the filth that they cannot avoid in this old rotten world and it not get them, not affect them, not influence them, not be a part of their life. God is looking for somebody who will walk with Him like Noah did in this dark and dreary day. Noah's task was to walk with God when nobody else did. How are you holding up to that task? Has the world affected you? Has the darkness rubbed off on you? Are you living clean? Are you living righteous? Are you living pure in an ungodly world? Have you been able to live in the world but not be a part of the world? Noah's task was to walk with God. He was to walk, but notice in verse 13, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. And it describes the dimensions of the ark. So we see not only is Noah's task to walk with God, but he also has the task of working for God. He not only is the walk, he is the work. God has a specific job for Noah. He gives him the directions. He gives him the instructions. Build the ark, and here's how you do it. And he not only gave him the directions and the instructions, he provided what he needed to build the ark. He provided the wood. He provided the pitch. When it came time for the animals to get in, He brought the animals in. God did that. It was Noah's work, but God's the one that did it. And God has a job for us to do. What is your ark? What is it that God wants you to do in this day? What is it that God wants you to do? What job has He placed on your heart? What does He want you to do? What job is it that God has? What task is it that He has for you? And even more importantly, are we being faithful to that which God's called us to do or instructed us to do? Noah had a task. His task was to walk with God, but His task also was to work for God. But His task also was witness for God. 2 Peter 2:5 says He's a preacher of righteousness. As Noah was walking with the Lord and living clean, as Noah was working on the ark and building that God had instructed him to build, he also was preaching, he also was witnessing, he also was warning those who would listen. Anybody around, he would warn them, judgment's coming. God's angry at the sin. God's angry about your sin. God's going to deal with your sin. He was a preacher of righteousness. His task was to walk and to work and to witness, and so is ours. That we would walk with God and live clean. That we would work and serve Him in the capacity He's called us into. And that we would witness and proclaim to others about God's anger about sin and His love for the sinner and His means of escape by Calvary. That was His task. And He did it faithfully. How faithful are we? How faithful are we? The world laughed at Him. The world said He was crazy. And to be honest, humanly speaking, it was sort of crazy. To build a box in the middle of the desert when it had never even rained. Up to this point, God had provided the moisture needed by the dew in the morning. And the canopy above had protected from the damaging rays of the sun. And the only moisture that the plants or the trees or all the crops ever had gotten was through the dew and the moisture coming up from the ground. It had never rained. And now God says it's going to rain. What's rain? Rain. Noah, you have flipped your last... You have lost your last nut. You have finally flipped your lid. But He still witnessed and He still preached, even though they laughed and they mocked Him. When no one listened, He still preached. When they laughed and they mocked, He still preached. When it got discouraging, He didn't quit. And I want to tell you, I want to remind you, as in the days of Noah, so it is in our day. They'll laugh at us. They'll make fun of us. They'll ignore us. They'll shun us. They'll say we're crazy. But still we need to proclaim. We still need to witness. We still need to share. And when it does get discouraging, when the darkness and the dreariness and the disobedience and the laughter and the mocking and the rejection gets so overwhelming that it gets discouraging, we dare not quit. We dare not quit. Noah didn't. And I wish that was the end of the story. But it isn't. I wish I could say, Noah walked with God. No, he served God and he was faithful and he preached the truth and the flood came and God dealt with sin like he said he would and like he should And after the flood, everything dried up, and Noah and his family, the only ones who did listen to his preaching, came off the ark, and they dispersed throughout the world, and they lived happily ever after, serving God and living for God. I wish I could tell us that's the story, but it isn't. For in chapter 9, turn with me, chapter 9 beginning in verse 20, this same man, this man who has experienced grace, this man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, this man who has proclaimed the message of deliverance and the message of forgiveness in a dark, dreary, dead, sinful world, this man who stood when most didn't care anything about standing, after grace, after all God had done for him, here's what happened. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the vine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, the son of Ham. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." I wish I could say Noah live for God, and there's no blotch on his record. There's no failure in his life. I wish I could say Noah learned such a lesson by the days preceding the flood. He saw the sin of mankind, and he saw the results of that sin, and he learned such a lesson that he stayed away from sin the rest of his life. I wish I could say that, but that's not the story. So we see not only Noah's time and Noah's task, but we see Noah's tragedy. After grace, after God had done so much for him, after God had been so merciful, Noah let God down. No, how true of that is that of our lives so many times? After God's been so good to us, after we've experienced His mercy, after we have received His grace, after we have accepted His Son and our sins have been forgiven and our destiny has been changed and our heart has been converted, after all He's done for us, after grace so many times, we also fail our God. That's what Noah did. And so many times that's what happens to us. Is this the same man? Is this the man who served God? Is this the man who walked with God? Is this the man who shunned evil? Is this the man who witnessed when nobody cared to listen? Is this the same man? Yes, it is. He's failing. And so many times we do. After grace, after God's been so good to us, after we've experienced His grace, we also fail God. In verse 20, the Bible said, "And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard." We do not see this in our English translation, which is our God-given, inspired, inerrant Bible. But in the Hebrew text, we find in that word "began" that there is a negative connotation. It literally means to pollute. It has the idea of attempting something or doing something that's going to have a negative end. Doing something that cannot turn out good. Doing something that will bring harm. Doing something that's going to have a bad ending. And that word "began" is exactly what it is there when it says Noah began to be a husbandman. What he's doing cannot have a good ending. And so many times, that's where sin starts. A little start. A little distraction. A little bit of ignoring the voice of God. A little temptation that we play with. A little sin that we don't deal with. A little fault that we think nobody's going to notice. That's where it starts, but that isn't where it ends. Noah's tragedy ended in heartbreak. Noah's tragedy ends in wreck and ruin. And so many times that's what happens to us. After grace, after God's been so good to us, after God's been so wonderful and so merciful, then so many times we turn and fail Him. The day came that Noah wished he'd never planted that first vine. Never wished he'd ever even started this project. You see, he forgot the danger of sin. Remember where Noah's been. He has watched the world decay. He has watched the world pervert itself before his eyes. He has seen what sin has done to the world around him. And he has seen in a vivid way the results of sin. Sin brought the flood. People perished. People died because of their sin. And now in his life, he's forgotten about the danger of sin. He's forgotten about where sin can take a person. He's forgotten about the danger. He's forgotten to not be careful with that he plays with or that he's around. He's seen firsthand the danger of sin, but somehow he's forgotten that. And that's what happens to us so many times. We've seen other people pay for sin. We've seen other people weeping because of their failure. We've seen other people pay the high cost of failing God. But somehow the devil makes us think we can get by with it. That won't happen to me. Somehow I'm going to be all right. Somehow I'm going to be the one that makes it through and doesn't have to pay. Noah forgot the danger of sin. And when we play with those things that tempt us, we're asking for the same result. Nobody can play with sin and get by. No one can play in temptation and not be bitten. The Bible talks about no man can take fire to his bosom without getting burnt. Noah forgot the danger of sin. Noah forgot the disgrace of sin. In verse 21, it says he was uncovered in his tent. What a shame. What a disgrace. How humiliating. How embarrassing. But that's the result of sin. It humiliates. It degrades. It embarrasses. And Noah had forgotten about the disgrace of sin. Somehow he had seen it all around him. He had seen it happen very vividly. He had seen a perfect picture of how sin was such a disgrace and so humiliating. He had seen it every day of his life up to the flood. And somehow he thinks, I can get by. Somehow it won't happen to me. But he's found out the hard way. It does happen to me also. I do not escape. I cannot escape. He forgot the danger of sin and he forgot the disgrace of sin. He forgot the damage of sin. In verse 22 and in chapter 6, he speaks to about Ham's son, Canaan. And he says, cursed will be Canaan and his descendants. You research that. The descendants of Canaan become, of course, the Canaanites. And what does that mean? Why does that name sound familiar? Those are the people who are dwelling the land that God will promise His people later on. They become an ungodly people. They become an ungodly, vile people. They become a people so vile that God has to deal with them. God has to judge them. And He even uses His own people to deal with the vileness of those people that Noah's talking about right there. And when God says to the people of Israel, in going into that land, He said, don't spare one of them because their sin was so great. And it can all be traced back to Noah and his sin. It didn't just cost him. It cost his family. It cost his loved ones. And friends, that's what sin will do. It does not just harm the sinner. It does not just do damage to the one who's doing it. It does not just harm the one who's failing. It does not just harm the one who has participated or has given in. Oh, but somebody's watching and someone will hear about it and it will be an influence to someone else and they also will fall. Noah, after grace, failed God. And if we're not careful, so will we. So let me conclude my thoughts this morning by saying a few very brief things. The Bible said, Jesus said, as in the days of Noah. And boy, we're seeing that. We are seeing what Noah saw. We are experiencing what Noah experienced. And just like in Noah's day, God's looking for somebody who will walk with Him in spite of the sin. It is not easy to walk with God when it seems like nobody else wants to. Even in the church house, there seems to be so few that want to serve God and live clean and stay away from sin and live above that that's average and ordinary. But in these days that we're living in, these Noah-like times, God's looking for somebody who will, in spite of all that's going on around them, live clean and live right and live holy unto the Lord. He's looking for somebody who will live godly. And the darker it is, the more important the light is. And in the dark day that we're living, how important it is for somebody somewhere to say, I want to be a light. I want to serve God. I'm willing to be different. I'm willing to be laughed at. Let them mock me. I want to serve God. What God wants is more important than what I want. What God wants is more important than what people think. Just like in Noah's day, he's looking for somebody who will walk with him and live clean and live above reproach in a dark world. Just like in Noah's day, God gave Noah the grace that was needed to not fail. It was not God's fault. It was Noah's fault. And friend, listen, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how discouraging the day, no matter how difficult, no matter how sinful, no matter how bad, no matter how fearful, no matter how frightening the day we're living in, God still has grace enough to help you and me serve Him and live clean and live right. He has the grace we need. Try it on your own, you'll fail. Try it on your own, you'll never make it. We'll fall just like Noah did. But God's got grace for those who will accept it. God has grace for those who will seek His face. God has the grace that we need to live for Him in spite of what we're facing. If we serve God in our late day, in our dark day, in our dreary day, when that song we sang a little while ago becomes a reality, and we leave this old rotten world behind, and we see the Lord face to face, and we walk on the streets of gold, If we serve God with all our heart now, we will be glad then that we did. And if we don't, we'll wish we had. When we see our rewards burn up before us, when we see those crowns, those rewards that we could have won had we just served Him and said no to sin and been faithful to His will, when we see those things burn up before our eyes, we will wish then that we had served Him now. And we can't wait till then. We've got to do it now. The only thing we can do is serve God and walk with God and love God and say, God, help me to live for You if nobody else does. You know how hard it is to look at God and say, God, show me and mean it. And listen to what He says. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants to admit where we're at. But in these days, these Noah days, somebody somewhere needs to say, Lord, show me. If there's anything You're not pleased with, show me. And God, help me to walk with You. Help me to live for You. Help me to love You in spite of what we're going through, in spite of our day. Do you know the Lord? Have you ever accepted Him as Lord and Savior? If you were to die this instant, if you were to breathe your last breath right now, you'd either go straight to heaven or straight to hell. No other option. All of us would. I want to ask you a very serious question. If your next breath is your last, will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? If you think you're going to go to heaven, I want to ask you a question. Why do you think you're going? A lot of people say, I think I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a pretty good person. And I try my best to do right. And I'm not near as bad as the average person. I do a whole lot better than I used to. And I'm trying to do my best. Well, friend, that won't get you to heaven. That won't get you out of hell. The only hope we have is God's way. The only remedy before the flood was the ark. Anybody who wanted to escape God's judgment had to get in the ark or perish. God's ark of safety today, like always, is the cross. The cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ died for our sin. He took my sin on Him. He took your sin on Him, and He died for our sin. But for me to benefit from that, I must recognize my sinful condition, realize I am lost, realize I am going to go to hell because of my sin, and I deserve it. But believing in Christ, believing on Christ, I accept, Lord, You died for my sin. I turn from my sin and I turn to You and I accept Your gift of salvation. Forgive me. Cleanse me. I'm Yours. That's how a person gets saved. That's how sin is dealt with, if it's dealt with at all. And if you're here this morning, you've never been saved, I beg you, if the Lord speaks to your heart, will you come right along this altar somewhere and just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm going to go to hell and I don't want to. I believe You died for me. And Lord, I just give You myself right here and right now. Please save me. Please forgive me. But for us who are saved, after grace, after He's done so much for us, how do we live for Him? Be honest. How do we live for Him? How many times do we fail Him? How many times do we spend weeks living as we please with very little thought about what He desires? How often do we say, oh God, take my life. Oh God, take my all. Oh, Lord, I want my life to count for you. Help me to live right. Help me to live godly. So many times after his grace, he's done so much for us. We, like Noah, fail him so miserably. Let's stand together.